Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah. Relax. Yeah. Take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot.
If you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay? You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No games to stick to none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I just want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
There's nothing here, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, here to talk Carolina Panther football for the next 90 minutes, as we tend to do every week around this time of year. Panthers have gotten off to an unexpectedly slow start, having now lost their second of three games. They're 1-2. Probably easy for some people to get up on the ledge here and talk about this team having taken a big step back. And it certainly has its problems, and we're going to point some of those things out. Looking at some of the stats and results of these games and the key plays. So obviously we're going to talk about this loss to the Vikings, 22-10. 1-2 overall, and now obviously we're going into Atlanta, which was our only regular season loss last season, was to the Falcons in Atlanta. Suddenly, bad timing going into our NFC South three-game stretch here. We've got then the Bucs back at home the following week, and then we go back on the road to play the Saints. You could argue that these next three games are a lot more important than the first three that we've played, but, a game is a game. But certainly the division games are more important. So if there's any, saving grace, I guess you could say, and I'm sure this is something that Ron Rivera is probably harping on, is, forget it. I will say we played probably the two best defenses we're going to see all season. We'll have to see what the Seahawks look like, of course. And the Chiefs late in the season. But, certainly NFC South doesn't have those three teams don't have a defense like what we've seen two out of these 3 weeks. And I would even give some props to the 49ers. A little bit, anyway. I was obviously disappointed in this decision, this game result. Cam Newton's performance, why in the hell he just suddenly started sitting in the pocket? We got the whole Kelvin Benjamin disappearing, zero catches, one target. What the hell is that about? There was just some very perplexing things about this game. The Vikings are a tough team. They're going to be a tough out, even with a new quarterback and no Adrian Peterson. It's amazing, right? I really didn't buy it, but, I kind of saw it. They just destroyed our offensive line in the second half. Seven sacks in one half. Oh, my God. I guess I'm probably not, watching the debate last night, and I'm not opening up discussion about debate. Actually, I'd actually bring it up just to say that we're not going to talk about that. But I will say it got my mind off football. It's my only reference to it. So But here we're back on football. I've been digging into some stats. We're going to talk about that. Hey, we made some roster moves today, mainly because of injury, unfortunately. But, you know, knock on wood, it's been a couple players, you know, that I think we can work around their loss. And that being, I guess it was Paul Sly, right, that went on the hell, I didn't even look at that. I saw we re-signed we're going to sign Kyle Love. I should probably check the actual transaction log here. I saw it on, they're saying, yeah, it's done. Done deal at this point. So we've added Kyle Love. Not Paul. It's Vernon Butler. Actually, is going to be out a few games. That's why we signed Love, and then we also signed safety Michael Griffin. Now he's a guy. Tell you what, that'll be one of the topics. We'll come around to him, but we certainly talked about Griffin being a potential free agent acquisition, and for whatever reason, the Panthers never looked at him. He was now open after being released by Tennessee. One of those guys has been out there, and we kind of wondered why would they not take a look at him. So apparently they're bringing him in. Hell, you know, sometimes these guys stick. Sometimes we dump them within a week. Look at Marcus Ball. Come up for the practice squad. You think we knew what we had after one game. We need a veteran back here. It's basically what I'm seeing in that move. Obviously, we'll let you guys chime in on that. I do see, what's that? We got about half a dozen people out here. Let's see, I see Chris from Vancouver. What's up, man?
Not much. That was a very disappointing game.
Yeah, it was. Though it wasn't as much of a soul crusher as the loss to the Broncos, it was certainly more frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos game, at least they gave us that hope and did come back and put themselves in a chance to win. There was about 6 minutes left in this game, and I was like, there ain't no way we're coming back. We are, Noon's just sitting back there like a statue. And I don't know. I have some theories on what the hell's wrong with the offense, but I don't know. We'll see if some of you agree with me. You got any theories?
I think having Stewart go out really hurt us, because our run blocking is pretty bad, and he made up for it so much last year. His ability to break tackles.
I hear you. I just didn't really realize it was that critical. I mean, we said that a lot in the Super Bowl that, losing Stewart hurt that game. But, I mean, we went into this game knowing he wasn't going to be there. And I don't know. I think Cap and Fozzie, Fozzie's not as big as Stu, and I guess Cap isn't either, even though he's pretty close. I'm just expecting more out of these guys at this point.
Yeah, and then Benjamin with all his penalties, and then him not getting targeted at all.
He had a killer penalty. Actually, I'm about to post. I've done a penalty. Look, the penalty report is about to come out on CSR. I'll probably post it right after the show, but I'm going to throw up some stats from that. To me, I think if there's one thing that's keeping Rivera awake at night, it's the penalties. To me, it's something he preached about in the off season and training camp, through mini camp and whatnot, about don't lose your focus. We haven't arrived, and every season is new, and get back to the basics. I think this is one of the things that can manifest itself in probably any Super Bowl team, win or lose, is you lose focus. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's about the only way I can explain why players that, you know, typically don't make these kind of errors are making errors.
Yeah, I'd say what we have to remember is that the Vikings are a very good team. Like, they proved it last week. And, like, yeah, you're going to lose some games, and it's not the biggest deal when you lose to a contender who very well could win
right.
a Super Bowl.
Right. And it actually can, you know, make you stronger. I think it's always good to play the stronger teams early.
Yeah. And we aren't the only team that's struggling. Like the Cardinals.
No, we're not. Strange that
Seattle.
All the contenders, you know, preseason contenders for the NFC have at least one loss.
Yeah.
And what, Seattle is?
2-1.
Seattle
like
1-2 or 2-1?
2-1, and then Wilson's looks like he's pretty hurt, but looks like they're still going to start him, which I would not advise.
Yeah. I got him on one of my fantasy teams. But, even though he put up a lot of points, at least Doug Baldwin did. They're 2-1. They were a favorite. The Packers were a favorite at 2-1, is who else you heard usually, if it wasn't us.
Cardinals.
And the Redskins, and they're 1-2. Oh, and the Cardinals. Yeah, I knew I was forgetting somebody.
Yeah,
the Cardinals, and they're 1-2. So, I do take heart in the fact that, we've played two tough defenses. We still got the Seahawks, and I forgot to mention the Cardinals earlier. They obviously have a pretty good defense too that we still have to play. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those people saying that we had an easy schedule at the beginning of the season, I'm not seeing it. It's actually,
yeah.
It's looking a lot tougher after three games.
Mm-hmm. Like, the good thing is we're getting out of those tough games early, like getting them out of the way. Like, if you have looked at, like, Atlanta's, like, next eight games, they're brutal. Like,
yeah.
Like, Denver, Seattle, Arizona. It's like, okay.
Yeah. They have a pretty rough schedule too. But, it's early season games, it's probably cliche to say, well, they don't place too much importance on them.
Yeah. And we have to remember that we almost always start out slow. Like, even in like last year, like, we were barely winning games against, like, the Texans and the Jags. So,
So, a loss to the Falcons this Sunday wouldn't be, devastating, but certainly would bolster the Falcons. But then again, they're kind of known for playing well early and then folding late.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you feeling any better about this one yet, or
about the Falcons game, or?
Just the loss to the Vikings, I guess.
My one saving grace that day was watching Odell get hit with the net. So that was pretty nice.
Would you believe my wife actually showed that to me just a couple hours ago? She's like, "Did you see Odell Buck get all pissed off and then the thing hit him back in the head?"
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. All right, Chris. Well, hold on the line here. I see I've got, let's see who's next up. Mayday. What's up, Mayday?
What's going on, Jax?
It's going pretty good, pretty good. I'll let everyone know I got the chat open, too, if anyone out there. I see we got a few in the chat. Feel free to throw a question up there for anyone on the line or answer my question about, what are you hating on the most at this point?
All right, I've got your answer.
What's that?
Cam's holding the ball too long. You can't hold the ball for 6-7 seconds like he did in that end zone.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Those were given sacks. Those were gift sacks.
I didn't understand it either.
I was sitting there thinking, man, get rid of that ball, get rid of that ball. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. Of course, I could see the whole field. You know what I mean? But
right.
He's holding the ball too long. That's the only thing that's wrong with his offense. He's holding the ball too long. You can't – in that end zone play, I think he tried to hold the ball about 6 seconds.
Yeah. It was just like, dude, your internal clock, you had to know it was time to throw that ball away.
So when you hear about sacks and penalties and all this other stuff, I really think it comes down to Cam just getting the ball out of his hands quicker.
Or, you know,
there's a saying that a sack equals a half a turnover. So if that's the case, then we had, you know, 4 extra turnovers in that game.
It stalled, I'm thinking of penalties. Penalties stalled 4 of our drives in that game. And then so you throw the sacks on top of that, and it's just no wonder they only put up 10 points. So,
I'll tell you what, though, in that first quarter, though, they had the screen game going.
And then they went away from it.
I couldn't understand that. That was...
Especially the way they were bringing the pass rush. I mean, and it just seemed like that usually what we do in those situations when they just start is we start running, Cam starts running the ball. And so, the theory I mentioned earlier is I just wonder if there was some kind of a leash put on him for some reason.
I don't know. That punt return killed us.
The punt return hurt, but, I mean, we were still leading after that.
No, that killed us. That killed us. You could say
it took momentum, but we still went into the halftime with a lead. And,
you could tell that they were on a roll and we weren't.
Yeah, well, actually, I think if you want to look at that in the first half, before that it was the damn Benjamin block in the back that nullified the Fozzie Whitaker.
Touchdown.
Yeah, that would extend our lead to 17-2.
Did you see that move that he put on that guy
They returned the punt. Yeah.
Hey, did you see the move that Fozzie put on the guy about halfway down the field?
Oh yeah, I mean it was an open field. Yeah,
guy was left holding his you know what.
Yes, he was. All right.
What's his name was saying, Denver and the Vikings are probably the two best teams we're going to face this year.
I mean, it's looking that way now.
Who would have guessed it? Let me tell you, look at what the Vikings did to Green Bay.
Yeah, 17-14.
And Green Bay looked great last week.
Yeah.
But the Vikings
shut
them down.
That really was more the eye-opener, the way they shut down Aaron Rodgers. I really think it was I don't know if I want to put too much. I tell you, the most confusing post-game quote was Cam being perplexed that Kelvin Benjamin didn't have any catches. It's like, what's that all about? It's like, well, shit, if anybody would know, it's you. Were you not looking at him?
Let me ask you something. You ever had an argument with your wife?
No, never. Yes, of course.
Feeling that Cam and Kelvin ain't exactly on the same page right now, if you know what I mean.
The game before they were well on the same page.
I understand that. Now they've had an argument. We've got to get Cam and Kelvin to make up.
Yeah, I guess they did have an argument, but
think about it. No
I
got to
get the all 22. If there was one thing I'd want to see is why, you know, did they look at it and go, look, we're going to take Kelvin Benjamin away. We're going to show double coverage on him, so Cam has to go to somebody else. Well, you know, Olsen did lead, but in receptions, but why he didn't have a bigger game, I don't know. They passed the ball well. I mean, you really can't hit Shula too bad. I mean, I think in the end we called too many dropbacks, and as you said, Cam was just holding the ball too long. But, you know, it was just the damn turnovers, the penalties.
Hey, well, did you see that one screen that they re-showed about three times where they showed how Cam waited till they were on him and then just dropped it over their heads? That was one to Fozzie, I believe. You know what
that
I mean?
Nice.
Just let the rush.
And that's the point is, if you're saying that
your hands, they're already
Cam
behind
left.
You. They're already behind the play.
Well, my point is, if you're gonna, you know, if there truly is this, desire to run him less to reduce his hits, well, crap, he's getting hit more sitting back there holding the ball, and so I think, you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's why I say it's an easy problem to correct, because all you gotta do is say, Cam, look, man, you can't hold the ball 5-6 seconds while you're standing in the end zone. You just can't do it. It's the NFL.
I mean, in the past, he's usually pulling that thing down and running his ass off. So he just seemed to reluctant
to do that. He's
still there
in the end zone like he thought he had all day to throw.
Yeah. We weren't playing the 49ers, dude. So, let's see. What the hell was I going to look at here? About as absent-minded as... Anyway, let me get...
Hey, how did Hawkins even play last week? Does anybody know?
I don't believe so. I think it was just Remmers and Orr.
I think that's part of the problem.
He was active.
Thing that I said...
And he
during
did get
the
on
draft,
the field probably during special teams. Let's see how many snaps he had.
Well, the two players that I wanted for us during the draft was, number one, I wanted Raven Clark. I think he's your next Joe Thomas, but he's going to take a couple of years to develop. But, man, he's got size, strength, everything you're looking for, quickness, feet to mirror, everything you're looking for, but he's going to take a couple of years. But I want us to get him, and I want us to get the guy that was the left tackle last year for Boise State.
Yeah. Not seeing him in here. Ah, okay. No wonder he's at the very bottom on the next page. Yeah, he got in on 3 snaps total. So, yeah. Of the people that got in the game, he got in the game the least. So, you know, Hawkins. Yeah.
Well, that was obviously our problem, is we couldn't block.
Well, I mean, we weren't necessarily handling the blitzes very well.
You think? Hey, it was just like the Super Bowl all over again.
And then as we would bring people in to help block, well, that just invited more blitzers. So,
the bad thing for me is
we sat back there and still tried to do our little dink and dunk, and they were just covering us. It seems like
when
we want to go, we want to add a new wrinkle, we do a double reverse.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a point in the game where you just know in your heart we ain't coming back?
I was there probably about 6 minutes left in the game. I was like, all right. After
felt it in Denver, and when we played Denver last year in the Super Bowl, And I felt it in that game. There was no coming back.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing in the Super Bowl, but not obviously the game, the opener. You know, I mean, we should have won that game.
No, no, I'm talking about the Super Bowl and the Minnesota game were mirror copies.
Yeah, you're right, and it was just like you could
also
just tell.
And also the Atlanta Falcons game.
Sam lost it, yeah.
And also the Atlanta Falcons game last year.
Yeah.
You could tell that same thing when they started sacking Cam and he threw that interception. When Julio Jones caught that pass over Kuechly.
Yep.
Right then I knew it's not your day.
Well, let's see. We got John on the line. What's up, John?
That was ugly. I was actually out of town and coming back in town after watching the Tar Heels play Saturday, but it sure does sound like the same thing as the last three losses we've had. What are we not doing in the second half that we're doing in the first? Are we not making any adjustments? Plus mistakes. I don't know. Seems sort of like the same thing. I don't know what else to say since I haven't seen it, but it sure sounded the same. I see no need for the pain of watching it now. So
it seems like the secret is out on how to attack our that you have to attack our offense, and if you can get Cam Newton rattled, then he'll stop making good decisions. I'll go ahead and bring up another, subject about this last game. And again, not trying to get political, but I know nobody on the team or the staff wanted to point to all the unrest around the stadium and everything leading up to that game. But, when you look at it now, when you looked at how many empty seats there were in that stadium, and what all those people had to walk through to get in there, and probably all the discussion, the players obviously know all that as well. And not making an excuse, but it's hard to say that it wasn't some type of distraction for them. And it did seem like, in many ways, our team was distracted.
That's true, but Cam held the ball too long.
Yeah, he did hold the ball too long, and I mean that, and maybe they just didn't get the focus, going in on this game, and certainly give credit to the Vikings for, figuring out how to exploit our offense, and they did it. They certainly didn't have much to rave about on offense themselves. They rushed for 58 yards, threw for less than 200. So, to their credit, though, they didn't turn the ball over. They only had 6 penalties. So, that's hard to go on the road. Not as big of a home crowd probably as they'll see in many venues. Again, a lot of that because I think a lot of people stayed home.
Hey, they got Monday Night Football.
Who?
Minnesota.
Coming up this week?
Yeah. Or Thursday night. It's either Thursday or
it's not
Sunday
Thursday.
I can't
remember who it is, but
there again.
Yeah,
the
Minnesota's opening up their new stadium.
Well, they already did, didn't they, in their opener?
No, it is like the grand
last week
opener.
Against Green Bay. Green Bay was in Minnesota, right?
Hang on a minute. I'm pretty sure they're opening. The official opening is either, I think it's Monday Night Football for them. Let's see.
Well, I mean, that could very well be, even though they may be.
Schedule. Here we are. Season schedule.
I thought they played the Packers in Minnesota.
Giants and Vikings on October the 3rd.
So, Yeah, well, week two was in Minnesota. That just must be their official opening.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think it's a Monday night game or something. Some kind of big deal about it.
Time. Yeah, should be a good one.
Hey, I'll tell you who's looking good. I hate to say it's damn Cowboys.
You think?
I think it's just what everybody predicted, you know, Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield and that offensive line. You put me back there.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Dak Prescott thing is...
Hey, he's a stud, man. He is... He's got a chance to be the next.
He's just
going to
have some growing pains. He's going to have some growing pains.
Oh, yeah. Cam had him, too. But I think he's got the capability. I mean, I've watched the kid. He makes great decisions, not afraid to stand in the pocket, take a hit. All the things you look for. All the things I look for.
Yep.
Carson Wentz looks like the real deal, too.
Word gets around. Tendencies start to get flushed out here after three games. They're still figuring out who this guy is. But, yeah, he's looked good. He's, you know, he's a big kid. He's throwing the ball well and limiting his mistakes. I certainly did not see the Eagles.
Hey, what did you think about that Sproles?
I mean, it was a hell of a play.
They were getting ready to kill him. They were getting ready to crush him like they crushed Cam last week. And all of a sudden, just right over their heads, man. That's what I'm talking about with a screen, when everybody's behind you.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the perfect call for him.
That's
but,
what we need to run
let's with. See. I got Josh on the line. Josh, where are you calling from? What city?
Burlington.
Raleigh.
Burlington.
What do you? Burlington.
Yeah, Burlington. Right near Greensboro.
Gotcha. All right, man. So, what's your thoughts?
Maybe I said it pretty good. Cam's just holding the ball way too long. Something these y'all didn't talk about. I mean, you know, a guy Kelvin's size, you have to throw the ball to him. Even when he's double covered, let him just go up and get it, make a play. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about KB a little bit earlier, but I didn't get around to that point. Is like, since when has Cam ever been gun shy about forcing the ball into his favorite receivers?
Throw a quick slant, get the ball out quick. I mean, it's pretty simple. Just throw the ball quick, let him go make a play. I mean,
they're having a spat,
but
yeah.
Well.
Since when does he not, you know, play action, you know, and then just turn and run the ball?
I will tell you something, Jackson, you were talking about earlier. As far as the crowd was there. I went to the 49ers game 2 weeks ago, and somebody gave me some free tickets. And at halftime, I'm not kidding you, I probably could have counted 2,000 people there at halftime. It's like everybody waits till halftime, and they want to get up. And then everybody's stuck in the line, so when kickoff starts, nobody's in the stadium. It's like you're at a high school football game, and you can yell across the other stadium. I'm not kidding you. You can yell across the other stadium, and it's like, where the hell are the fans? They're still stuck in the freaking lines for getting beer. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? So it makes it the visiting team not have to deal with that
right.
crap. And it's frustrating as a fan. You're like, where the hell's everybody? You know, it's like,
yeah,
where's
all the vendors that used to come around? And I mean,
yeah.
I know they still have them.
It's awful. And it's like, you know, but, you know, that's just the, you know, the wine and cheese country that we live in. But it's like, damn, just, you know, if you know you're going to get up and go, just go before halftime. Just go a little bit before, you know, so it's not such a dang long game. And it's frustrating. I was like, good
Lord.
Saw
those pictures of the empty stadium when everybody was in the beer line.
Everybody was
waiting
in the
line
beer
at the bathroom.
Line,
yeah, the beer line, the bathroom.
Yes.
Was it real hot?
Yes.
I think some people were out.
Oh, dude, it was awful. It was awful. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people sitting out in the shade. Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's like, you know, what are you guys thinking? I mean, you know, you're taking the home field advantage of, you know, because they got the ball second, you know, this start of the second
but
half.
But you're saying
like,
it kicked
you know,
off, and in the first quarter, the stadium was full.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was,
okay.
it was pretty
well,
good. Yep. I mean, there was a little bit
right.
here and there,
I mean,
but, you know.
I saw a picture right there. It was in the third quarter, and they panned around
yep.
the stadium, and all I saw was blue seats, and I was like, holy shit,
yep.
where is everybody?
It's the same thing that happened at the Niners game. And, you know, we were just like, you know, I was looking at a couple of my buddies, and we're like, what, where the hell? You look at those,
yeah.
and you see at halftime, everybody just starts going on. It's like, damn. So, I don't know. It's frustrating as fans because you're like, you're just taking out the home field advantage of it because, you know, to start the second half. But I will agree with you though, you know, with all the, you know, stuff that's going on and all that. I really do think that, you know, it still has something to do with them because they didn't act like they really had a lot of heart in that game, but they really wanted it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That was kind of my thought too.
Like
there seemed to be
drained,
a lot of
like
complaining to the refs and
yeah,
you know that. And there just wasn't, unlike the Broncos game, there really wasn't a lot of penalties. There wasn't really many penalties I could argue with.
Right.
You know, just hell, the Kelvin Benjamin block in the back, it was just like, dude, it didn't even matter to the play. And it gets, those are the ones that just really drive you nuts. It's like
I knew
making that play without your block, you could have just stood there and it'd have been fine.
It's like Mayday was saying, and I agree with this 100%. It's like when we missed that field goal, and then next thing you know, they returned that one for a touchdown, the punt return for a touchdown, I knew the game was over. I was like, we didn't have any fire that day, didn't have any heart. It just, I don't know, it was just like it just got sucked out of us. But the team's
agree.
Got talent, you know. We all agree with that. The team's got the talent.
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt. And they could certainly turn it around. You know, it's just 1-2. So we got the Falcons.
Hey, don't forget how Minnesota beat Green Bay.
I'm not saying I'm not taking anything away from Minnesota. You know, and another thing is we're kind of spoiled. I mean, last year we only, you know, we had a 15-1 season. You know, we're not used to this right now. I mean, it's kind of tough, but you know, it was one of the worst games I felt like I've watched in a while. At least the Denver game, I knew was, you know, a good game and stuff like that, but. It was just, you know, like you said, it just didn't feel good from the get-go.
Yeah, well, you definitely could tell when we went in the locker room, only up 10-8, that we had really blown some opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
when we missed the field goal. You know, had the touchdown called back. I got a new number on the line. Looks like a Charlotte area. Not sure if they want to talk, but area code 704-674. You're now on the call if you want to join in.
Yeah, Jackson, I was at the game too, actually, and
okay.
Saw a lot of people fan out same thing, you know, at halftime, and it's just like, I can't remember if Vikings scored on that first possession in the second half, but it is kind of ridiculous how, you know, it's like halfway through the third quarter, and it's you know, people are just now finally starting to get back to the seats. It's kind of puts a on a bad vibe in the stands. But one of the things is that's bothered me is where is the defensive end on the pressure? I mean, it's, I know we're getting a lot of good stop in the run, but yeah. Where's Charles Johnson and Tony Ealy?
Just definitely not getting to the quarterback with the frequency that we need to. That was an offensive line that is okay, but you know, missing their, you know, their just lost their left tackle. Whether you think Matt Khalil is any good or not is for, you know, can debate another time. But so they're starting a second year guy who played right tackle, T.J. Clemens at left. Nothing out of
company. Hey, I'm pretty sure what's his name that we sent to Dallas that got busted with coke. I'm pretty sure he's available.
Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
I don't know if Greg or if Gettleman's going to bite on that again.
Yeah, especially after his most recent run-in as
as bad as we needed these spin.
Yeah, and his excuse was that someone planted it in his pocket, I think.
My gosh.
So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't see the pressure there, and that, I don't know. I mean, I know they're stopping the run, but, you know, Bradford.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot to ask you, what's your name?
Oh, I'm David, by the way.
David.
I've listened in a bunch, but this is my first time actually calling in. I wrote on the site a long time
you
ago.
You in Charlotte?
Yeah. So I was actually in Charlotte, and I live in Belmont, which is just outside, but I work, you know, go down 277 all the time, and I definitely think that the whole riots and stuff definitely had to be a distraction for the players. I mean, the whole city was just kind of on edge, you know, talking to people around the city. So not that that's an excuse, but,
it's just a reality, I think.
Yeah. It's just a rough week for the city in general. And I think, you know, Cam lives uptown, and from what I understand, I think Fozzie does too. So they were just right in the heat of all that stuff going on all week.
Oh, yeah. There was, did you see the Instagram of him riding his Segway around in it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Somebody had a video of him out on his Segway that night. The second or third night. Not the first night, but when it was really wild. But,
it definitely had to play some part of a role into it. And I mean, it was fairly full, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's like where – and I know it looks full and it's sold out. You know, they always brag about that every game, but sometimes it only feels like 80% is only there, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just the nature of the Charlotte crowd, particularly with, as you're pointing out, the PSL thing, to where people own these seats, and they know they're always going to, you know, they're always going to have a seat, and if I miss a game, or, you know, I'll give my tickets away, and then maybe that person
or
doesn't show up.
Football or what.
Yeah, if it's not one of the big games where a lot of these people can sell their tickets. I'm surprised, you know, Minnesota wasn't a bigger game. But, again, I do think that the attendance was scaled back a little bit. I mean, if I had planned and usually went to those games with a small child, I might have thought twice about it this time around.
Right.
But, you know, I guess, you know, we should end, you know, this that at least there wasn't any that I, you know, maybe there were some arrests before around the game, but I didn't see anything, and it seemed like it was mostly peaceful. So, you know, hat tip to Charlotte there for not interrupting the game, even though, you know, hell, maybe a few smoke grenades on the field might have helped us.
It was just an odd week, you know, but hopefully all this can just, you know, now we got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a good
games.
Time for the team to go on the road, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
I agree with that.
Jackson,
what
can I mention a high point, I think, of the game that maybe we're overlooking?
What's that?
Fozzie Wicker's looking good.
He is. He is. I had him in the player of the game poll, and he probably didn't win it. But, you know, he's making the most of his touches, and he's showing the kind of elusiveness we lost when D'Angelo Williams left. You know, say what you want about D. Will, the boy still got it. And, you know, Fozzie is, he's a patient, really good cutback runner. And, he is a yak guy. He's not a yards after contact, though.
He can break your ankles.
Yes, right. So, yeah, I really like the way he looked. And, you know, he and Cap had right around the same amount of touches. So even though Artis Payne out-carried him 12-5, Whitaker still caught 5 balls. He had 6 targets.
Hey, well, don't forget about the one that was called back.
Yeah. So I guess that's the one target that he didn't get. So, you know, when they're throwing the ball to him, he's catching it.
Well, that was 63 yards, wasn't it?
56.
56. Okay, so add 56 to his total.
Yeah.
That wasn't his, that wasn't his fault.
Oh, yeah. So there you got, that puts him right at 90 yards receiving and 22 rushing. So he'd had 112 yards and a touchdown would have been his stat line if not for that one penalty.
Yeah, he definitely adds the to the passing game, unlike Jonathan Stewart. You know, Jonathan Stewart's just not quite the option to run a wheel route or a out route, you know, that Fozzie can do.
Yeah, Stewart doesn't seem to catch on the run as well as Fozzie does.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a go out in the flat and sit down and wait for the ball and then go. So, maybe not be that quite specific, but let's see.
I thought Bradbury looked all right back there. You know, I don't know exactly. I forgot who he was covering, but it seemed like he had a decent game.
You know, the secondary played pretty well. Stephon Diggs caught a few balls, but he didn't kill us.
The offense and the special teams is the reason we didn't win that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, first off, they gave up 8 points.
And then 8 sacks equals 4 turnovers.
Yeah. On top of the 3 interceptions. And that last one, that was just damn pathetic. What the hell, Cam? Since when do you throw little blob balls up in the air like that when you're getting sacked? That one's going to hurt the film room.
If I'm Ron Rivera, I gave Cam a recording, and all he'll hear as he's sleeping is, get rid of the ball quicker. Get rid of the ball quicker.
One Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, throw it!
There you go. At the end of 3 Mississippi, the ball's gone or you're on the ground.
Yeah, or you're running out of the pocket. Yeah, you know, because...
Yeah, you can't... 5-6 seconds, man. Heck, there is no offensive line in the world. He was standing back there like he was some kind of prince. Nobody could touch, man. I was like, get rid of the ball, Ken. They're coming.
Yeah, and our edge protection just broke down, you know, and it just seemed like they took turns getting beat up front. You know, it'd be Remmers one play, then it'd be Orr the next, you know.
Hey, I saw a play where Orr got put on his butt. I mean, he was just off balance when the guy hit him because, I watched it, and Orr just went flying. I was like, man, he hardly hit you. Are you flopping?
Yeah.
Hey, but Fozzie, if you could take away the penalties and the stuff that went on, I think he's what we've been looking for from a back.
Yeah. I guess we're seeing why in all that training camp and preseason discussion, the Panthers never, you know, it was Ware and Cap fighting for that third spot. You know, it was never really Fozzie.
Hey, wait till they activate Bird. Wait till they activate Bird, and nobody's seen that kind of speed.
Oh, well, we could use it, apparently.
Well, they got to activate him.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not sure it's the speed at this point. Cam's got to have time to throw the ball. So,
yeah, but, hey, Bird, I don't understand why they didn't activate him yet. He is such an awesome weapon. Wait till he gets in the game. He's going to be our Antonio Brown. I'm telling you, wait till you see him. I mean, they hadn't activated him yet. He ain't played.
Where's BW when you need him?
That's what I want to know. Hey, I saw where he's writing.
I'm sure he likes Demir Bird, but I'm not sure even he would agree with the Antonio Brown scenario.
Wait till he gets in the game. Look at what he did to our defense. Look at what he does on kick turns. Look at Bird on kick returns.
Now, he's got to put a little more muscle on. He's got to put a little more. He's awful lean.
Not for kick returns.
Well, that's true. I'll
tell you who I think Bird's going to be like for us. Now, I know he's a little bit bigger, but not much. Who's the kid from Kansas State that went to the Seahawks?
Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett, yeah.
Be our Lockett.
Jackson, you also didn't mention the other play where if Cam would have threw the ball like he was supposed to do and not underthrow Ted Ginn, he'd have had a touchdown right there, too. He severely underthrew that ball.
Yep. Yeah, if he'd laid that out there just a little bit more, that'd have been a touchdown.
It'd have been a touchdown. Oh, yeah.
And he had time. He actually could tell he took a little off of it. It wasn't like he couldn't have thrown it, you know, further.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah.
It's a shame we're not the coaches of the Panthers, isn't it?
Well, I won't touch that one. I'd probably fuck it up bigger than a can of worms in no time.
especially when you draft what's his name from Missouri.
Oh, shut up, Blaine Gabbert.
That's your boy. That's your boy. I'm gonna hold you to it, Jax.
I agree with Mayday to a certain point. I think they need to start throwing a little bit of wrinkle in the offense a little bit, put Bird in the slot, let him get in space and let him work his magic that way. But
yeah.
I don't know. But
well, or Philly Brown,
we
got to take our shots deep. And that was certainly something wrong with the offense a few seasons ago. But, you know, once we started taking our shots, we were hitting them, but, you know, we know.
I think our best play is a screen to Fozzie.
Yeah. Well, I'd mentioned I'm about to do a penalty post. The Panthers have 36 accepted penalties to date. I think, and then we got four decline.
Are we the most penalized team?
No, we're actually fifth in the league.
Oh, well, we're up there.
We're up
five.
To around 8.7 versus last year we averaged around 7. So kind of up 2, but then we add in the ones that are declined. It actually works out to we're averaging about 3 more penalties a game in these first 3 games than we did last season.
Well, the holding penalties are coming from Cam holding the ball too long.
And just the sacks and,
Well, you're first and 20, you're third and 29, and I mean.
But let's see, the top 3 penalized players, Ryan Khalil is at the top with actually 4. Then Kelvin Benjamin with 3. Khalil has 2 holding calls, a face mask, and a false start, which is unusual for a center to get a false start. KB has 1 offensive pass interference, 1 holding, and then his wonderful illegal block above the waist. Is that what a block in the back is now?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it? Then the third is Cam Newton with 3 penalties, 2 of which were delay of games. He's had 1 in each of the last 2 games, and these weren't the ones that were intentional like you do see periodically. These actually cost us 5 yards. Let's see, Trey Turner then. He's got a holding, he got that stupid-ass taunting play. Yeah, whatever. Funchess. Oh, yeah. Jesus, we have 4 of that unsportsmanlike because he copied KB's touchdown. They did it the same, they had a coordinated touchdown dance, 15 damn yards. What the hell? Do we not know the rules?
Hey, and don't forget, that gave them the ball at about midfield.
Yeah. And, of course, that was the 49ers game. But did you see, speaking of Funchess, Captain Munderland throwing some shade at him, saying he isn't that good?
Yeah, I saw that.
Can you not look at his stats and say, well, this certainly isn't what we expected after having such a solid preseason? But
he's not getting the reps, though, either. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, reps.
Well,
that's
actually a good question here. What was his?
Hey, you know the safety we picked up today? The safety we picked up today?
Yeah.
He's had over 100 tackles the last 4 out of 5 years.
Going to get his damn chance here, I hope.
100 tackles, that's Keekly. Keekly ring.
Hey, well, they didn't bring him in to sit him on the bench. There's no doubt
about
it. No,
he'll be playing Sunday.
They may give him 1 week off, maybe make him inactive 1 week, give him a little chance to learn the playbook. But he won't sit much. Well, I don't know. He's probably got to play,
But think about it. It's 100 tackles for a safety.
That's a lot.
He had him 4 out of 5 years.
So here's the wide receiver snap count breakdown. And interesting that they're all bunched up together. Well, KB, all right, we had 77 offensive plays, right, compared to Minnesota's 54. All right, just let that sink in for a second. But then KB, 61 of 77, he had 80%. Ginn then at 49 or 64%. So, that's just KB coming out to get a rest periodically. So Ginn at 49, then Brown at 45, and Funchess at 42. So the next 3 were all right around the same, between 64 and 55% of the snaps.
Yeah, and Ginn's was a touchdown if Cam had just put some air underneath it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'd love to see a breakdown like Crawford used to do on the formations, just to see what our more common formation is this last game.
I'd like to see us go back to a really good fullback, and I don't think that what's his name from Coastal Carolina is making it anymore.
Tolbert. Yeah.
No, I think we need a real
snap. He wasn't
like a Stanford type fullback.
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely was a pulling back of Mike Tolbert's influence, and I mean, I'm wondering if that's more of a Fozzie effect that they're.
Well,
saying,
think about
hey,
this: if you got a fullback and a pulling guard,
yeah,
you can just maul what's in front of you.
Yep, Tolbert had 2 carries for 5 yards, and 2 catches for 14. So just kind of pedestrian numbers, really. Nothing to write home about. Punt return game was shit.
Our special teams were shit.
Yeah, kickoff returns were shit.
At least Ted Ginn caught it this time. Just didn't let it bounce around like the San Francisco game.
Hey, but who was so good for us in preseason in kickoff returns and punt returns?
Who was that? Is that a guy that's been inactive every game?
That would be him.
Who was that guy? He did look good. And, you know, you're preaching to the choir here, I think.
It's time to activate him.
Yeah, if we're not going to throw the ball at Funchess, then
did he have any
money down?
Put Bird in the slot.
Yeah,
that's Bird that's
damn
mine.
Jersey.
Put Bird in the slot.
Yeah. Maybe let take Corey Brown's jersey. Philly Brown.
Hey, do it for a game. At least he's special teams. And I just think he'd bring an awesome dimension to our offense.
Yeah.
He's got speed to burn. I mean, you
All
have
right.
no idea.
Well, let's move to the Falcons game.
All right.
We've seen this story before. Falcons
yep.
are number one offense in the NFL so far through 3 games. You guys know that?
Mm-hmm.
448 yards a game.
Matt Ryan's number one.
Yeah, he's kicking ass in fantasy. We'll see. They opened against Tampa, lost that game 31-24.
All right, remember how I've been
Raiders
talking about who we
on the road.
Listen,
yeah,
listen
they lost
this.
At home. Huh?
All right. Listen to this for a second, Jax. Think of how we've been talking about who we played. Who's Atlanta played? The Saints?
Yeah. They've played the Bucs at home and lost 31-24. They then won in Oakland 35-28. And they won in New Orleans 45-32. I think one of the bigger surprises is that Oakland's defense is struggling so much. People really thought they'd be a lot better. You know, we know the Saints' defense is shit. So, you know, they put up 31, 35, and 45 points, but they really haven't played a defense. So, you know, and then as you mentioned, they then go to Denver and then at Seattle. So, that was a critical win for them to beat the Saints because being 1-2 with, you know, Carolina, Denver, and Seattle up, this is going to show how much Atlanta's really progressed these next three games. You know, and what the fuck? I had Devontae Freeman in fantasy, but Tevin Coleman gets four touchdowns? Or no, three in that game, right?
Yeah, three.
Some shit. But anyway, so, you know, we're going to have to put up some points. I don't think we're going to hold the, you know, I could see them still putting up 24 to 28, maybe even 30 points. So the offense can't, you know, pull a damn Jekyll and Hyde on us again here.
You know what's in the back of the Falcons' minds, don't you?
Julio Jones,
Brad Berry.
How they beat us last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that should give them.
That's how you do it.
Could give them some confidence. Plus, you know, they're 2-1. They're sitting on top of the division. They're at home. They know winning this game would be huge for them.
And they're playing at home.
Yeah.
If we start 1-3, that's not good.
Falcons have an all-time 25-17 series lead against us. So we definitely need to cut into that. Rivera is only 5-5 against the Falcons.
Well, don't forget we had that safety, what's his name, that we got rid of.
Oh, they took him back, right?
Charles Cox.
No, the one that gave up that long pass that everybody wanted.
Oh, Nakamura?
Yeah,
they
Nakamura.
No, they don't.
No, I'm saying we don't.
Oh, we don't? Oh, okay. Let's say that dude's got to be out of the league.
No, we don't have him anymore. I got a feeling this safety we brought in is going to be a hitter.
I hope so. I'd like to think that he's excited to be here.
Well, think about 100-some tackles for 4 years in the NFL.
Well, as you pointed out, that's pretty strong.
I wasn't too thrilled with what the Titans fans nicknamed him.
What?
Michael Whiffen. Isn't he always Whiffen on attack? Yeah.
Oh, but, great. Great. Charles Johnson has usually played well against the Falcons. Quan Short had four sacks and two forced fumbles in his past two games against the Falcons.
Johnson's from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Played at Georgia.
Yep. KB lit up Atlanta in I think the second meeting in his rookie season.
Well, him and Cam have got to get over this spat they're having. There's no explanation for no target. No target. He ain't getting
this
none.
Really
something's not quiet.
Yeah, that still to me is, you know, seeing Cam go, God, what is up with that? How does he not catch a pass? It's like, well, dude, you can't give us maybe an explanation as to why were you, I mean, was you saying Shula wasn't calling his number? That's number, you know, either number one, it's we weren't play calling him, which doesn't make sense. Or two, you tried to throw the ball, you thought about throwing the ball to him, but you saw he was covered. Why can't you answer that question? Or was he just being coy? You know, I didn't actually hear the context of it. It was just more the transcript.
They're having a spat. They're not getting along right now. It's the only reason that Cam wouldn't.
He just ain't gonna. Is that
the reason
it,
that Cam wouldn't?
He's not gonna
anymore.
Let that go. They're having a spat. Well, it's a bro spat, huh?
Maybe they need a spoon or something. I don't know.
God.
They obviously like each other in the Minnesota game. Explain why no targets.
Well, they got one right there at the end when it didn't really damn matter. But let me look at that, actually. Yeah, Benjamin, one target, zero catches. Yeah, I had a friend of mine go, freaking Calvin Benjamin gave me a goose egg in three different leagues. I'm like, yes, he did. And it wasn't that he was hurt. That was like last week, I have an IDP league. I have Levante. Hold on one second. I have an IDP league with Levante David in, and week two he put up a goose egg, and I was like, "The hell was he hurt?" I actually moved him to the bench, and then I was looking at him like, "No, he freaking played. How does the middle linebacker play an entire game and put up a goose egg? No tackles, no assists, no nothing."
Like, hey, and he's one of the very Levante David, somebody I'd like to see us get, along with Telvin Smith.
Yeah, that one was a head shaker. That was the Oakland game.
Well, Telvin Smith, didn't he go to Tampa Bay?
Kelvin Smith, is that a running back?
Telvin Smith. Linebacker from Carolina. He's another Levante David. He's got 100 and some tackles every year.
Not ringing a
bell. Linebacker from Florida State.
Oh, Florida State. Yeah.
Telvin Smith.
All right. So let's see. We got 18 minutes left. Let's go around the table on some predictions. So, Mayday, you've been talking here. I'm going to let you lead off here. What do you think this game's going to look like?
I think that Cam's going to get the ball out of his hands. I think we're playing the Falcons. I think the Falcons think they're really good after playing New Orleans. I believe it's going to be 38-12.
38-12 Panthers, I assume?
Yes.
All right. You know, I should put these predictions in the actually, that's what I'm going to do here. So we can go back and double-check each other here next week. So let's see. Mayday, 38-12 Panthers. I'm actually going to go low scoring. Because it just, whenever I go with the intuition, it's never right. So I think instead it's going to be more 24-17 Panthers. Panthers right the ship, but not a huge victory. Let's see. Josh, still on the line there, bud? You got a prediction?
Yeah. No. I'm sitting here trying to think. Let's see. 28-17.
I'll go 31-21.
31-21. All right. Let's see who wins the prize. Nobody's going to pick a Panther loss, huh? I mean, I openly admit my homership, so I have a hard time picking us to lose. All right, well, I lost John. He already bailed out on the call, so Let's see. Anybody in the chat got a prediction? Throw it out there.
I'm not going to say this is a must-win, but it's a pretty big game because I don't want to go 1-3.
Yeah, you know, 1-3 in the first quarter, just, you know, it's digging a hole.
Yeah.
I don't think Atlanta's defense is either Denver's or Minnesota's.
Yeah. No, I totally
is
agree.
Is it even San Francisco's?
I don't know enough about San Francisco yet. I can't figure out Chip Kelly.
Yeah. He certainly, the San Francisco offense doesn't look a lot like what he was running in Philly, other than they do try to speed it up a little bit. But
no, the Philly offense looked damn good.
The one they have now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that Chip is gone. And can you imagine how good they'd be if they had LeSean McCoy still? And what's his name that went to the Redskins?
Deshaun Jackson.
Imagine if they had Deshaun Jackson and also what's his name that went to Kansas City?
Macklin.
Yeah, tell me, Philadelphia wouldn't be loaded if they hadn't got rid of all that.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
Deshaun McCoy, Deshaun Jackson.
I mean, they switched to a 4-3.
Did you see what LeSean McCoy did to who was it last week? Arizona.
Yeah, that was certainly the upset of the week. And who saw that coming?
I don't know. That Pittsburgh game was pretty upsetting, too.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. That was the shocker of all time for me. I was like, I can't believe Pittsburgh's playing like this.
And who beat? Was it San Diego? Who was it?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Nor Buffalo manhandling Arizona like they did.
But also, I mean, Big Ben was, he was getting pressured all day long.
Yeah. Well, again, hat tip to the Eagles for figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz looks like the real deal to me. I mean,
yeah.
The best that I've seen in a long time.
Well, the Panthers are down to, they just have gone with four defensive ends, and they brought in that fifth tackle, Kyle Love. It looks like Vernon Butler is going to be out a couple weeks with the high ankle sprain.
Well, I think we all got to agree with it. You can't let Matt Ryan just sit back there and throw the ball. I mean, you're going to have to dial some pressure up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Bradford there for a while, he was pitching a damn tent. It's like, where's the pressure at?
Well put.
I'd like to see us pick up an offensive lineman somewhere.
Or at least give Hawkins a shot. Put him in on the right side. Him or Williams.
Who's the guy named Jake that came from Oregon that went to Cincinnati? Does anybody know? Offensive lineman. Went to Cincinnati in the draft 2 years
Jake
ago.
Jake Fisher?
Yeah, I'd like to see us pick him up.
Yeah, they drafted two tackles, as I recall. The Bengals.
Well, Eric Fisher, he's...
No, I'm talking about
Jake Fisher.
Jake Fisher.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure about him. Let's see, though.
He's been in a fast fastest offensive lineman at the combine in 3 years, Jake Fisher was.
Well.
So that tells me he'd be a good pull-in tackle.
You think Julio will have over 100 yards?
Not against us. And Charles Johnson being back in Atlanta is going to be something.
You think?
He's going to want to show off, show out.
So now I'm looking at a regular season play direction report for Carolina. Yeah, I get this from NFL, GSIS. It's a media-only access. It's one of the few things the NFL does actually give me. And as you would expect, it's heavily leaned on running it right up the middle. Not a lot of tacking the edges.
Hey, what's the point spread? What does Las Vegas think? That's what I want to know.
That's a good point.
Because Vegas will know who's going. I would say the Panthers are in a must-win situation. Should easily be able to figure out what they've been doing wrong and recover nicely.
See what Bovada's got on this, if anything.
Well, since you get 3 points for being at home, I'm going to say it's Carolina -1.5.
Well, we're not listing it.
Really? Hang on a minute. I've got to count.
Yeah.
Probably too early.
Top bets, the best one.
You know, that's who I used to go to. Yep.
They're the best, in my opinion. Let's see what they got. NFL.
That's who I did all my betting through.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the best in my, you know, I've dealt with most of them. Let's see, hang on a minute. Here we go.
NFL odds.
Is Carolina -3.5?
We're -3.5.
Yeah, and the over and under is 50.5.
Ooh.
Yeah, 50.5. Thought for a second. Right? Put my glasses back on. Carolina -3.5.
My prediction is 24-17 is 51 points.
That's why I say look at Vegas, man. They know what the hell is going on. Yeah. How many times are they wrong, really, when you think about it?
Oh, well, especially when you're, you know, it's hard damn enough picking games without the damn spread. And so when you throw that spread in there, they're just so damn good at it. You're right, man. It's over unders is 50.5. That seems lower than I would have. Than you might think for the highest, you know, one of the two. I think the Panthers, even though in spite of being I think fourth in the NFL, fifth in offense. So,
okay, if
you know,
the over's 50.5, if the over's 50.5, go back and look at my prediction. And tell me which I'm going to take.
Your prediction, let me find it again. I put it. You're right at 52, yep. So you'd probably take the over, right?
Shoot. I think I'm so close, really, to be honest with you.
I mean, I could just see the Panthers giving up a cheap, you know, putting up 38, but also giving up a cheap touchdown here.
Yeah, and that's to let Atlanta cover. Yeah, to let them cover, like, you know, maybe taking an intentional safety or something. Vegas is good, man. I tell you, they're good.
They are.
But three and a half, so the Panthers are a half a point favorite is what it comes down to.
Because
you get 3 points for being home. So Vegas is saying, pick 'em almost.
Well, looking at key matchups, you know, I guess if I
Charles Johnson being at home is going to be a key. That's going to be a key thing. He plays good in Atlanta. Cam's from Atlanta.
And when you look at receiving yards on the season, you know,
and I imagine KB's been whining all damn week long about get me the damn ball.
You know, in spite of the fact that they're, you know, the scoring that they're doing, they don't have a top receiver, you know, in yards.
It would be Bird if he was in the damn game.
Well, I'm talking about the Falcons. So Julio Jones has 188 yards on three games. Looks like
he was the guy that they picked up from Cincinnati.
Yeah, two touchdowns. Oh, Sanu. Well, he just got hurt. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
He's doing pretty good.
And then behind that, they got you know, Tevin Coleman catching 10 balls for 167. So,
let me tell you something. He's the one I'm scared of.
Yeah, he can hurt you.
He had 100 and something like 40 yards total against New Orleans. Didn't he? I mean, you got the stats right there in front of you. Tevin Coleman.
I know he had three touchdowns because I was following that, but he didn't have a whole lot of yards,
like
actually. Freeman outrushed him yards-wise, but, yeah, he only had 12 for 42 yards, but he scored three
touchdowns.
What about
catches?
Now, catches, yes. He had, just three catches, but 47 yards. So he had a 34-yarder there. No touchdowns. But, yeah, actually Freeman was more productive. He just didn't see the end zone. He caught one pass for a touchdown. He still has no rushing TDs. You know, it was interesting. The number one picks, the top three picks in most boards going into the fantasy drafts was Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones. All right, Brown is number four overall, two touchdowns. So he's performing. You know, again, don't necessarily think he's going to.
And Beckham's in a mental hospital.
Yeah, Beckham's is number eight, 280 yards, no touchdowns. In a mental hospital.
Well, he lost his mind, didn't he?
He got mad.
What in the hell was that all about?
Yeah, it was just funny seeing. Yeah, we talked about that earlier about the net coming back and hitting him. Yeah, and Julio Jones is 37th with 188 yards. So, that's what I'm saying, man, it's just so risky picking wide receivers that early in a draft, man. And the top picks is tough.
No,
but,
you're taking Antonio
Brown. We're down to our last
Antonio Brown.
We are at the last minute, so I appreciate you guys calling in. I'm going to go ahead and start my sign off, give you a little tiger roar.
All right, Jax, we'll talk to you next week.
But we'll definitely do it again next week. And, of course, come and tune in to Catch Scratch Reader. We'll be covering all the action. Y'all have a good evening.